This would be my first foray into a podcast territory.
Welcome. The water's fine. The water is fine, isn't it? Welcome to List NV. My name is Mark Steadman, and this is the podcast where every week I bring on a special guest, and together we collaborate on a top five list on a topic they choose. This week, my guest is comedian Dave Bond, and we are discussing top five stand-ups from the UK that you have to see live. The criteria being, it's not just about good stand-ups, but it's about stand-ups where you really get something by having that live experience that you can't get by watching them on Netflix. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. This is Dave Bond, and I started by asking him about his relationship to comedy.
Ever since I was a child, I used to do little impressions of people famous at the day, because I was like, probably when I was five, it was like 1986, so probably people like Mr. T from the A-Team, things like that. I used to do just impressions and make everybody laugh and sort of have like a little party piece, you know, and I've always enjoyed comedy. I've always been able to make people laugh, and yeah, it's just one of those, like friends and family, you've got to do this, you know, and say you should be on stage. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, sweeping it, you know. But it's an act in itself, isn't it? I mean, being on stage, you're acting out a character almost. And I like the storytelling side of it as well. It's I've always wanted to do it. So
who are the kind of, and you know, we may have some overlap in terms of when we get into the list, but like, who were the people you were seeing like on TV when you were a kid that were making you go, oh wow, that's a job that people can do?
Not too sure, really. It's going back. I used to be a fan of Russ Abbott when I was little.
Oh yeah.
Abbott show and stuff, and that was more like sketch based, but he was silly, and you know, sort of something of my age as a child can sort of listen to and, you know, like. But yeah, something like that. I mean, it's people probably listen to this and think, who?
I remember for years watching, because we'd had a couple of tapes of certain acts, and Victoria Wood was one that I pretty much wore out that tape, I think. And I remember being a kid and not really knowing not getting the joke, but knowing that somehow it was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those things, like, I'd laugh along. It's like, if anyone had asked me, what are you laughing at? It's like, I don't know.
You don't know.
It's delivered in a funny cadence, so I guess it's a joke.
Sometimes you can't put your finger on what makes you laugh. It's just sort of spontaneous in a way.
And when you're working on stuff, when you're working on your set and things, are there people that you've got in mind that you're thinking about, you know, other acts and stuff?
Obviously it probably wouldn't be on this list because, you know, sadly passed away a few years ago, but Sean Locke, for me, I just love his, he's so surreal, but he's grounded in normality at the same time, so it's not too over the top. I like that. I like his storytelling a lot. I just love it. I mean, for me, he's the comedian's comedian for me. He's...
All right. Well, why don't we get straight on to then your first pick of British stand-up that we have to see live?
Okay. Well, this guy, he's more of he's really commercialised. I mean, he's famous in Britain, mostly just in Britain, but it's Peter Kay, and I have to say it because I like the nostalgia aspects of it. It's like you can sit there and go, oh yeah, I used to do that, you know, or I remember someone who did that, or watch these programs he's talking about. And especially the person, people of a certain age, you'll go, yeah, I used to do that. I used to watch Bullseye, have a bath and watch Bullseye and all this, you know.
It was Standard Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it, yeah. See, I mean, it's
ingrained in British culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, even the dance floor and doing the run up to the dance floor and then skimming on your knees, sliding on your knees on the dance floor. Like, it's, you know, running around doing the aeroplane. Like, kids, you know, kids still do that. It's, yeah, it's, he, his observations are spot on.
It's brilliant. Yeah, that's why I like him. You know, he's just so down to earth, seems, you know, like, you get these comedians that talk about things that none of us have probably done or none of us know, you know, or, but he's not really, you know, he just speaks to everyone for me, so.
Yeah, and manages to do stuff that isn't, I mean, you know, he occasionally swears, but like there's nothing that's like inaccessible in his,
no, exactly, yeah, yeah,
in his comedy. That's right. You know, it's broad, but at the same time, very, very relatable.
One thing he said, while all the comics, when he first started, were talking about sex and drugs and things like that, he was like, well, I don't want to talk about that. I'll talk about what you know. And he knew Bolton, where he was from. So he just talked about the funny things he used to remember from when he was a child and growing up. So,
are there any particular bits that stand out for you?
Yeah, the bullseye routine. Yeah, that's my favourite. You know, it's so observational, and he picks out really tiny little bits that you probably don't remember at the time, but it just brings it back to life. So for me, that the bullseye routine, I think that was my favourite.
Do you like any of his TV shows? You know, the non-stand-up stuff.
Yeah, Phoenix Nights, Max and Paddy, Road to Nowhere. I don't know if you've seen this. There was one called That Peter Kay Thing, where he done,
yeah,
like,
which was the how Phoenix Nights started.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, because he'd done like little episodes of different scenarios, situations. They could have all been turned into a comedy, but he chose that one.
Yeah, I think it was it the last episode was just really, it was kind of sweet and just sad. It wasn't really, it wasn't that funny, but it was really well written. It was, I think, him as a postman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the one. The Britain's oldest postman or something. Yeah, yeah, that was really good. Yeah, and actually that was based on someone he used to know around the area. There was like that, but he sadly passed away. But he based that character on him, so yeah.
And of course, you know, he did the John Smith's ads.
Yeah.
We don't seem to see those anymore. We don't see funny John Smith's ads anymore. I don't know if it's because, well, you can still advertise booze, but for whatever reason, John Smith, like, because they used to have, like, a lot of, you know, their Jack D advertised for them for ages.
With the penguins.
Yeah, yeah. And they even before that, they always had like funny little skits and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened to them. Actually, I've never drunk John Smith's. So I don't really think I'd like it. But I don't know what's happened.
It's okay.
Okay.
It's nice, but it kind of tastes cheap, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yes, he used to advertise that, and did he had some cracking sketches.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
For, you know, little lads for those. Very nice. Okay, Peter Kay, lovely. Well, my first pick is Daniel Kitson.
Okay.
I've got kind of two criteria for mine. I think one is either you can't really see them on TV or the internet because they don't really do much, or you've, like, the show is different each time, or there's like a real live element to the show that means you've got to go. And Daniel Kitson is the first one for me. So he's kind of a comics comic. I've never seen him live, but so many comedians reference him. Like, if you search for Daniel Kitson, even in Amazon, you don't get Daniel Kitson material. You get people talking about Daniel Kitson. And it's the same with podcasts and stuff as well. Speaking of Phoenix Nights, he was Spencer, so he was the barman.
I was just going to say that. I've never seen his stand-up, to be honest. I've only known him from Phoenix Nights.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a great sort of, you know, character actor in that. But weirdly, recently I wonder if either someone is uploading stuff without his permission or if he's given in. But I saw a clip of him on TikTok recently, which is the first, and I hadn't realized it was him. Like, I'd heard this name, Daniel Kitson, for so long. And so, like, Stuart Lee, Richard Herring, Stuart Goldsmith, all these people talk about him. And it wasn't until I saw this clip, I was like, oh, that's the guy from Phoenix Nights.
Yeah.
That's Daniel Kitson.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, like, so I think he's one of those that he's obviously so well thought of as a comic. I think you've just got to go and see him live because You know, he doesn't do podcasts, he doesn't do panel shows, he's not going to be on Live at the Apollo. So you've just, and he does an Edinburgh show like every year, you've just got to go and see him.
That's probably, it's probably why a lot of these comedians aren't in the limelight as such, because they only do like the stand-up circuit or whatever.
And I think that's a really, that's a great position, I think, to say, like, you know, if you want to come and see me, you've got to come and make the effort. You know, to have enough kind of, I don't know, like, not necessarily bravery, but confidence in your act to be like, no, you've got to come and seek me out. I'm not going to beam myself into your heads. Like, you've got to come to me. I think that shows some real confidence in your art.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Who's your number two then?
Okay, this is not to everyone's cup of tea. Jimmy Carr.
Okay, yeah.
So, his joke telling, for me, his one-liners and his joke telling, the controversial, you know, but it's all about the joke, it's about the delivery, and I think he's one of the masters at that. And not only that, he's a good TV presenter, he's on all the panel shows, but he's sometimes completely different. You think, well, he seems harmless, but you see him on stage and he's quite, he's in the papers for a lot of his jokes, but no, I think he's just one of the best for pure stand-up, pure jokes, you know, the old style comedy where it's just joke after joke, one-liners, you know. So if you're into that, then, you know, for me, he's got to be the best, I think.
He is, he's a joke machine, and there is a sort of, there's a very real science to the way that he crafts jokes. Like, it feels like he really thinks about it, and he's really into the art. You know, the whole game of trying to come up with the shortest joke possible. So we had the 4-word joke. I don't know if he ever did a 3-word joke, but I know he did a 2-word joke as well.
I'm not sure, but yeah, you're right.
The 4-word joke was venison's deer, isn't it? Which is lovely.
Yeah,
2-word joke, dwarf shortage. Which okay, I get where you're going there.
Yeah,
often like his last Netflix special, I was a bit bummed out by, because it just felt a bit too, I don't know, there's like, I can get the, like I said, there's the almost scientific formula of it. Let's come up with a really good joke. Let's forget about offense, that kind of stuff. It's about the art of the joke. And, it, you know, is it fundamentally funny? And some of it for me stopped. It kind of just stopped being funny and veered a little bit more into just mean. But, you know, I love hearing him interviewed, because he speaks so eloquently about this stuff, about comedy, and he, you know, I feel most of the time he can sort of defend what he's saying. And
it's kind of weird, because people associate him with like an upper class snob and all this, but he was asked about that, and he says, well, no, I was working class. He said he's just how he spoke, and I think he uses that in his act, you know, as part of his act. People go, you know, he's this snob, you know.
He sort of brought back a slickness to comedy that we didn't have for a while, I think. Because I remember seeing him probably, I don't know if it was maybe 20 years ago, at like the Royal Variety. You know, it's the first time I'd ever seen him. And he just, you know, joke after joke after joke in this very, you know, well-fitting suit, slick back hair, didn't really move on stage, you know, very just sort of, you know, this is it. And felt kind of, I don't know, like a slightly bygone era of a comic that we hadn't really seen for a long time, because it was all, you know, it Northern comic and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like to be, you know, yeah, this is not an accent. This is how things are pronounced properly.
I mean, it's as rare as rocking or shit today, a comedian like that, to be honest. But back in the day, I mean, that was all you got. So, yeah.
My number two is Sarah Millican.
Okay. I think I've got her on my list. So
Nice. She's warm, but she can really, like, she can take you down. You know, she's got that kind of dinner lady vibe, but she can wither you, you know, with a very sweetly phrased put down And she's one I have seen live. I've seen Peter Kay live as well. But it's different seeing Peter Kay live because it's a massive stadium, you know, and it's not the same.
I haven't seen any of these live. Well, one of them, but I think we're both in the same boat with the one I'm going to mention. We've both seen him.
Right. Yeah. She's just fun, and I think she's one of those that the reason I put her down is the audience interaction. You know, you're always going to get a slightly different show. She asks the audience questions, and there's a tendency then for people to sort of get a bit rowdy, a bit raucous because they want to join in.
I just love it because she does. I like that she does involve the audience, and like you said, that she looks like, you know, but it wouldn't melt. But then she says he's rude jokes, these really blue jokes, and it's just, I just think she's brilliant. And she doesn't really move if you watch her, she just stands there moving ahead,
but absolutely commands the stage.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
So, what else made you put her on your list?
The same things you've said, and the fact that you don't always know what's going to come out of her mouth, you know, so it's like almost, well, not deadpan, but almost deadpan.
It's something about maybe the appearance not matching what comes out. And she seems so at home in so many different environments. Like listening to her on something like Richard Herring's podcast, where she will, you know, upstage him. She'll take that. I mean, like, I'm really interested in status in comedy and where different characters and different acts apply, you know, have different status depending on who they want to be. And she's always one of those who's very kind of, with good manners, always manages to take the higher status. There's just some, because she won't allow nonsense. I was just for a moment there, I was like, why didn't I put Gary Delaney down, her husband?
And yes, I was just thinking she's married to Gary Delaney.
Yeah, who's also great and has that kind of Jimmy Carr thing. But I think, to be honest, if we've got Jimmy Carr, we've probably basically got Gary Delaney. Although I think I err on Delaney a little bit more. But I was thinking about that. Like, I didn't put him down because, for me, you don't get that different a show. You're not going to get a different show seeing him in the flesh because he's just going to joke at you. Whereas Sarah Millican, there's much more of an audience interaction.
I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it's, if you've seen one, you've seen quite a lot, you know. It's like, yeah, it's all the same. But that's not knocking him. I mean, he's really funny.
He's got an accent, really, like, and he delivers the act.
Definitely.
So there you go. Who is your number three, please, sir?
One that a lot of people probably won't know, but he's a comedian from Ireland. He doesn't really do many gigs over here. And that's Neil Delamere, or Delamere.
I feel like I know the name, but I don't think I've seen him at all.
No, he's not on. I don't think he's been on British television. He's a lot of stuff in Ireland, but for me, he's a great storyteller. The thing with Irish, a lot of Irish comics and a lot of Irish people in general, they tend to be quite good storytellers. So it comes from like their history as a country and as a people. They like to tell stories, and he's one of those, but he's kind of got almost like another sort of surreal element to it. And there's if anyone, any of your listeners want to seek him out, Neil Delamere, he's very, very good comedian. And one of my favourite things he's done, he's talked about Vikings, drunken Viking babies, and it's so surreal, and them having hangovers. It's that kind of vibe you get with him, but he's really good. And there's not a lot of his stuff on YouTube. There's probably like 4-minute clips. I mean, what I had to do, I had to go on Amazon and buy the DVD because there's not much of him. There's like 4 or 5 minute clips on YouTube at best. So he's one of them that he's not really out there as much. But in Ireland,
you want to make the effort.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He's one of them. It's like the Daniel Kitson one you mentioned. It's just pretty much the same, really. But yeah, he's a brilliant comedian. So he's my number three.
Nice. I was just looking to see if he was on Because I haven't looked at it for a while, but for a while I was actually, I don't know if it's still going. Next Up Comedy, there was the subscription service. I don't know if they're still, if they are still going.
Next Up Comedy, I think I'm subscribed to them actually. Strange, because subscribed to so many stuff.
And... Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Looks like it's still very much there. And I was just curious to see if perhaps he was on there, because I think I saw a little clip. That he might have done a live at the Apollo by the looks of it when I just did a quick Google. So I'll definitely go and do my research. Lovely.
Yeah, he's the Viking baby one. That's one to watch.
Lovely. Oh, fantastic. Okay. Number three for me is Ross Noble.
Cool.
Because, again, like going on the criteria of you're going to get a different show every time you go, because... He will just go with whatever occurs to him. I'm sure he must have some go-tos in his head, but it doesn't feel that way. He does seem to have this unerring ability to just find funny. Like, he's one of those people, like you and I, we've both written stand-up sets. Perhaps we know how easy or difficult it is. It's not an easy thing to do, but he seems to be like, we've got a jack into the vein. Like, he seems to just have it run, like just running, and he can just find the funny in things and find a way to, an observation or something, just twist an idea.
It seems like, I mean, we all write stuff down. We put it in our phones, whatever. It seems like his book is his mind. And he just comes out, it just spills. He goes on to one subject and he goes on a tangent off somewhere else and talks to the audience, makes that part of the act, and then goes back to what he was originally talking about. And that's pretty good, you know, having that an hour and a half set and having that memory to keep going back and forth. I mean, he's definitely talented, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I like silly, I like surreal, I like absurd and taking something to the nth degree. I just listened to him on, it was Richard Herring's podcast, and it was a thing about seeing Ben and Jerry, or who we thought he saw someone who looked a little bit like Ben and Jerry from the ice cream people, said it to his missus. She didn't see him, and then she, because the way he said it, she thought he genuinely saw Ben and Jerry. And then he went on to a whole thing about how one of them has died, and they just explored this whole bit about one of them wanting to be buried in an ice cream tub, and how the ashes, or not buried, how they want to be cremated and the ashes put in an ice cream tub, and you have to peel the foil lid back and scatter using a tiny little spoon. And it got me thinking as well. You know, I just thought about like opening the tub and going, okay, well, you've got to let it sit for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you can't just dive straight in because it's going to be rock hard. And like, yeah, it just these little things that you can explore.
Yeah, I mean, he just proves that you can make a joke out of anything and just make it absurd.
So who's your number four?
Number four, I've gone for the same as you. I went for Sarah Millican.
Well, let's skip on to your, since you've got Sarah Millican on your number four, let's skip over to your five then.
Okay. Number five for me is a guy that I think we all have to thank for, and we've both seen him, and that's Mr. James Cook. Surprise.
Surprise Cook.
Yeah, he's... the fact that, number one fact that, you know, to teach us comedy, look what he has done, and we've got all gone on stage with no prior experience whatsoever, some of us, and we've been able to do it and carry it off. I think that's a testament to how much knowledge he has of the craft, and the fact that he's a very, very good, capable comedian in himself. I mean, when we done our showcase, he obviously opened up, didn't he, and closed, and he got everybody laughing, and I was laughing quite hard, and he's just really funny bloke and really nice man. So, yeah,
lovely. Well, there you are, James. Don't know if you'll make the final five, but hey, you know, nice. My number four then is Nina Conti.
Nina Conti. Okay.
She is a ventriloquist.
Yes. Monkey.
Who is, yes, who has her monkey. And there's occasionally all other characters, but monkey does it for me. I saw her on the TV probably 15 years ago, and I just loved her act because, I mean, she's... I think I've seen better ventriloquists, but I haven't seen more... I haven't seen funnier ventriloquists. You know what I mean? Like... the whole fourth wall breaking, the whole referencing the fact that this is a ventriloquist act, like Monkey gets to completely just mess with the form. And it's the, yeah, it's just how he/she sort of acknowledges she's so good at switching back and forth between Monkey and Nina. And she's so adept at that. So as much as I was like, she's an okay ventriloquist, that she does so well. You know, that's really seamless. And yeah, it's just, yes, there's the fact that he can say the things that maybe she can't say, but it's also, yeah, like the thing that got me right from the beginning is how she plays with the form, how she acknowledges that this is a cloth puppet with, you know, her hand up its backside, and how she is literally putting words in his mouth, like all of that stuff. Like it works so well.
It's a different spin on the whole ventriloquist thing, isn't it? You know, it's like, this is a character, I'm not controlling him, this is a separate character. And like you said, she obviously flips that and says, look, I am a ventriloquist, I've got my hand up this thing, you know. Yeah, so I think that's a really nice spin, and I think that's probably what makes her unique.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And also, on my criteria, she does live shows where she brings people up on stage and controls them like puppets. She puts like a mask over them,
yeah,
with like a fake,
yeah, I've seen that,
fake,
yeah,
false,
yeah,
jaw. Yeah, and she flaps the jaw.
That's pretty funny. I've seen that.
Yeah, and so, you know, you are, by virtue of that, you're going to get a different show every time you see her. So, yes, you can watch... But she's probably done, you know, Alive at the Apollo or whatever else. And she's done the odd panel show as well. But, you know, if you go and see her live, you will get something different. So that is my number four. Did you have anyone else on your list?
I've got three. So you want me to pick one?
Yeah, yeah. Who would stand in for your number five?
Shall I give you three and...
Okay, sure, yeah.
And then sort of pick one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of the threes was Lee Mack. Just, again, brilliant comedian. Josh Pugh. He's in his early 30s. To be honest, I've only seen one of his, and I thought he was brilliant. He made me laugh all the way through it. And the other one was Greg Davis. He's really funny. I mean, I like the way he does his act about his mother, you know. So, out of three of them... I'd have to say Greg Davis.
Yeah, I have him on my in my honourable mentions.
Yeah.
And I think he's someone, again, that, yes, he's got his show to deliver, but there is also, in fact, having seen the back of my mum's head, he does get people up on stage, and so you are going to get a slight different thing, and he does play with the crowd as well. It's like, you know, there's so many other comics we could have picked, like, you know, James Acaster, huge comic at the moment, but as much as he's a great comic, he will just go on stage and do his act in front of you, you know what I mean? And it's a great act, but it's like, it's more, not more theatre, but like, you know, it is the act, and that is what you get. And I'm sure, you know, if someone heckles, then there'll be a whole thing. But like, you know, and that's why I think our list might be a bit, our final list might be a bit different this time, because I really want us to focus on that unique, like, you're going to get a different experience, and it's going to be palpably different seeing them live, you know. And I also kind of want to make sure that it's not just full of penises.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
So this is Dave Bond, and is apparent, and as we get through the episode, it is quite a sausage-heavy list, which I don't love, but one of the things that I didn't want to do as I was sort of looking through comics that I liked is just start picking women's names, because I wanted to have a balanced list. It's not because of taste, it's merely sadly enough, that's the level of experience I have. You know, I there's one or two I think I mentioned later, but one of the names that didn't come up is Angela Barnes, who I'm increasingly sort of wanting to check out. So there's definitely quite a few British stand-ups. I mean, back in the day, we had Lucy Porter. I say back in the day, I mean, she's still very much going. And Shaparak Khorsandi and people like that. But my criteria myself was very much, again, of thinking about what are you going to get if you go and see them live? Are you going to get a different experience than you would on watching a DVD? And I just wasn't quite certain of that. So that's, you know, perhaps a little bit of over-justification, but that is where the list has ended up a little bit dick heavy. I think it's a good list, you know, and we'll get to our final top five in just a bit. If you're hearing some echo in my studio, that's because I'm in the process of having it refurbed, and right now the flooring that I have has created more reverb than I would have expected. So I've got some work to do to do some sound dampening. But I do have a bit of a funky new studio, a nice bit of paintwork and flooring that my cats can't tear to pieces. Well, I say that, it's lino. And so I have this horrible thought that they're going to realise that they can probably dig their claws into it. I shouldn't say this out loud because they'll give them ideas, but that is very much a thought that I've been having. There's that. Now, as I have said, like, if you are unhappy with this list, I don't mean in like a, you know, a real sort of take to the streets kind of way. If there are people that we've missed, if there are names that you're like, you definitely should have put these in, or I've seen this name, I've seen this person, and you definitely get a different show each time, whatever, then listenvypod@gmail.com is my email address. I would love to hear your thoughts. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you have an iPhone, whether or not you use the Apple Podcasts app, it's helpful because it means that when people do come across the show, it gives them a sense that, oh, people actually listen and this is what they think of the show. So if you feel inclined to do that, whether you use the Apple Podcasts app or not, it would mean the world. So if you would... if you like what we're doing here and you'd like more of it, then I get into... I'm quizzing Dave Bond today on a British stand-up. I gave him a set of questions. I think it was 10 questions. Each one with decreasing levels of obscurity to see how many it would take for him to identify the British stand-up. And as with a lot of this stuff, it's not really... a test of skill and knowledge, more is it a test of can you think like an AI chatbot. So if you want to hear what that sounds like and support the show and get rid of messages like this, then you can go to listenvypod.com/plus. You can be like Brendan, who signed up last week. You'll get a shout out on the episode, and you will make my heart feel very warm, and it just helps. As I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it helps keep the lights on, helps pay for the hosting bills and all that kind of stuff. So it's £2 a month, or about, I think, $2.50 a month. You get extra stuff every week, and you help support the show. So listenvypod.com/plus. So we've got lots more funky stuff coming up. I don't know why I said that. I immediately regret calling it funky stuff, but we have got some good stuff coming up. Next week, we're going to do, I've decided that in a bit of a first, we're going to do the same list every year. We're going to do Eurovision songs of 2024. Now, we've already done Eurovision finals of the 2010s, I believe. That was a lot of fun. But... returning guest, three-time returner, four if you count the double episode, is Kat Turner, and Kat's a big Eurovision head, and so she's going to be joining me next week. So if you want to get the homework done in advance, start checking out the finalists of the Eurovision Song Contest throughout all of the participants, and start thinking about building your own list. And we are going to do the same. We're going to be listening to the whole catalogue. I'm sure Kat has already listened to it twice over, and figuring out what are our favourites. Not what do we think who's going to win. It's purely down to what do we think is the best song. And so get prepared for that. That's going to be next week. After that, we've got John Bounds is coming back. We did 70 sitcoms with him previously. He's coming back to do 80 sitcoms. We're also talking haunted locations and films that give us the creeps. So we've got lots more. So do stay following the show. And with that, let's get back to it, and let's build our final list of top five UK stand-ups you absolutely have to see live. Well, let me tell you what my current list is looking like. From five to one, this is a sort of a draft combination of the two. I've gone Greg Davis, Ross Noble, Neil Delamere, Sarah Millican, and Peter Kay.
Yeah, I'm happy with
now,
that.
Peter Kay, are we really going to get a different show if we see him live?
Again, he doesn't really tour that much. I mean, he's doing what at the moment. I think because his material is basically what goes on in his life. So if he's touring every year, I mean, you don't get much material. So I think that might be the... And he's a family man as well, so he's you know, he spends a lot of time with his family. So I suppose there's a big gaps there for just to gather up material. So kind of in a way, we were always going to hear about his past, his childhood, you know. But he's new. He's doing a tour at the moment, or finished a tour, I'm not sure. I'll try to get tickets, but couldn't. I was, you know, pretty annoyed at that. But apparently, like, he's married with kids now and they've gone older. So maybe that might be some new material.
Oh yeah, I mean, in terms of new material, we'll see stuff. But what I mean is that he'll do a DVD of that, or a Blu-ray, I guess. Are we going to get that much of a different experience? Bearing in mind, again, he plays massive venues. Is it really going to be that different seeing him live to seeing the DVD? Whereas that's what I'm trying to think with these other people.
Yeah, probably not, because obviously audience participation. It makes a live show a live show.
And you can't really do that when you're in an arena, because, like,
right,
it's impossible.
Yeah, true.
So I as much as he's a, you know, I enjoy him, I don't know about putting him on the list, mate. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, on that basis, surely. I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Well, that gives us a slot here that we can free. If we bump people up, then let's have a look at where you were, your last list.
It's getting very tense.
This is important work, you know? Yeah. It's important work that we've got to
do. Definitely.
Tell you what then, I'm going to put, it's a little bit more male heavy than I would like, but we have got, like, spoiler alert, we've got Sarah Millican up top. I'm going Daniel Kitson at number five, Greg Davis number four, Ross Noble at number three, Neil Delamere at number two, and Sarah Millican at number one.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah, brilliant.
All right, I will ask you formally then. Before we do that, we've got a crisis.
Okay.
Can we count Neil Delamere as a British stand-up?
Oh, wow.
Is he Irish or Northern Irish?
He's Irish.
I've never had this much contention over a list. Oh, I want to get it right. I want to get it right, Dave.
Oh, I can't believe we... It's my fault. It's my fault entirely.
No, that's all right. That's all right. That's okay. We can do this.
Yeah.
All right. In which case, then, you know what? I reckon Lee Mack's a good shout for number five, because he's the kind of person who... You know he's going to bounce off people.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's so quick. So, okay, here we go. Lee Mack, Daniel Kitson, Greg Davis, Ross Noble, Sarah Millican.
Yeah, I'm happy with that, yeah.
I will ask you formally then, Dave Bond, do you consent to this list?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. I had a couple of other names on my list. I had Daniel Sloss, who I've seen on Netflix and would like to see live. Dara O'Brien.
I haven't really seen much of him. I've seen the panel shows. I haven't seen much of him live.
I really enjoy his stand-up. Okay. There's a nerdiness to him that appeals to me, but also he's got a bit of a Catholic upbringing, which...
He's Irish. Oh, he's not on the list, is he? Of course.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point, because he is proper Irish. I mean, okay, he gigs a lot here, but no, you're right. I really enjoy him, but who else did I have? Yeah, Sloss is a lot of fun. I mean, Greg Davis, just always good. Oh, and Maisie Adam. I would like to see Maisie Adam live.
She's the one that does a lot of the football stuff, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know. Football stuff, did you say?
Yeah, like she's on comedy football shows and stuff.
Oh, right.
I haven't seen much of her, but I just know that.
Yeah. And I did have Stuart Lee as number five. And we actually never got to, I never gave my number five, I think, but it was Stuart Lee. And the reason being, I'm going to punish Stuart Lee, because he's not a nice person. So I'm not going to relitigate this list, because we've already signed, sealed and delivered it. But I went to see him in 2019, literally like the week before the world ended. And that thing he does where he takes a line and then keeps repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. It's like, it's okay on TV, but when you see it live, it gets you.
It
starts off a little tedious, but then it absolutely goes into that moment where it's like, okay, this has got so stupid that I'm laughing so much it hurts. And you know, I had that moment. I did really enjoy his show, but he's not very nice about other comedians, so he doesn't make my
list. Yeah. I wonder why that is.
I just think he's grumpy and a snob. I mean, Mark Watson, someone I really like, he was very mean about Mark Watson because he did some advertising, and it's like, yeah, well, okay, it's fine, but you don't have to be like the idea of comedians. He was the main one that I can think of who makes fun of other comedians in his act, and like, we don't get to do that in other jobs.
Yeah, surely if you don't like a comedian, I mean, don't make it personal. Just don't watch him.
And don't make your act making fun of that comedian just because they did a thing that you didn't like.
Absolutely. I'm sure it's hard enough, you know, as it is, you know. You should all stick together, really. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah, he belongs off the list.
I'll agree with that.
This has been an absolute pleasure, sir. Where can the listener keep up with you, find out what you're up to, and see some of your comedy?
Well, I'm on YouTube. Just search me on there. Just put my name, Dave Bond. I've got one video on there of the stand-up. I'm aiming to put more as I get more.
The first of many.
Yeah, of course. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I used to produce a lot of music, so I've got my music on there that I produced, some electronic music that I've put on there. So yeah, put my name in. I'm sure it'll come up. Nothing other than that. It sounds pretty boring, but
well, this has been loads of fun. So thank you so much for joining me on ListNV.
Absolutely, no, thank you. I've enjoyed every minute. Thank you very much.